Amen. Amen. And just to repeat what Pastor Jen shared earlier, we do want to thank you, all of you, for your many prayers, for your commitment to this church through your regular giving, but also through the ways you specially bless the staff. It has been really humbling to be here in this time. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your love and your grace, for your light that shines through the darkness. Lord, another year is upon us in which we get to praise your name. Lord, let this be the best year of our lives, not because it is one devoid of pain, but one in which we are willing to run towards it, to see the ways in which you call us to suffer for our loved ones, to bring redemption to others. Here and now, Lord, take from us our concerns and our anxieties of the week, of the day, of the month, of the year, and let us be present to whatever it is you have on your heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A new year. Who made resolutions? Who's broken resolutions? Right? Resolutions are those things that, oh my goodness, I'm going to do it. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to be swole by the end of the year because I'm going to do one push-up per day, coordinating to what day it is. And by the end of the year, I'll be able to do 365 push-ups, except for I forgot day two. So just got to go back. But the reality is we break them, right? Things happen in life. You get sick. Things call your way. And I hope you know God's grace that you can start again the next day. That resolutions don't depend upon a perfect record for them to come true. In fact, it's kind of arbitrary that January 1st is the first day of all of your resolutions, because today is the first day of the rest of your life, and that's true tomorrow as well. And so whatever convictions you place upon your heart that God has given you or you've worked out for your health, just do them, even if it's November, right? Start then, and you can have that same conviction that you are going to where God is calling. I know last year at this time we talked about reading the Bible through in one year. Did anyone do that for the first time last year? Amen and hallelujah. There's something about reading all of the scripture that God has handed down, even if we still have no clue what it means. And it's still really weird to start to chew on it, to wrestle with it. And so if you want one of those resources, please, please, please ask. There's abundance of them out there from YouVersion online, reading the scripture in one year. There's a lot of different ones for that. If for you, it's a class that you want to join. Many of those are forming now. On Wednesday mornings at 9, we're going to get back into the wisdom study, starting with Job. And so you're invited to join with that, whether through Zoom or in the fellowship hall, safely distanced, and many others, many other groups and other things that you can be a part. And I'm sure there's some workout groups or online groups you can join. An abundance of those are going, and I hope you find those fruitful. But for me, I personally try to stay away from resolutions, and that's a longer conversation. If we want to have that, I would love to. I want something with more bite. I find that resolutions tend to lack that accountability that something like a covenant offers. Covenants, those formal relationships and informal ones where we enter in with someone else as a partner to work towards a common goal. For some of you, you may have experienced it at school, that you had to follow a covenant code. For me, at Wabash College, it was to act like a gentleman and responsible citizen at all times, both on and off campus. It was our one and only rule. And it was a covenant we had, and if you broke it, you were gone. Or maybe you joined a sports team, and if you didn't show up at practice, or if you decided to do certain extracurricular activities, you found yourself off the team. But they were there to hold you accountable because we wanted to win. We wanted to excel at school. For others, it may have been a challenge you gave yourself to climb a mountain, to run a marathon, to read all these books. And you know you're accountable because you're able to do it at the end. And you hold one another accountable in those groups. For others, we've read and fantasized about the Knights of the Round Table. Or maybe the Fellowship of the Ring. Or more recently, the Order of the Phoenix or Dumbledore's army, these spaces in literature where people are side by side saying, we are going to get this done even if it kills us, because what we're standing for is good. And we're going to hold one another accountable along the way. Maybe for others, you think through scripture and the way in which Israel was in the desert arranged, or the 12 disciples coming along and following Jesus wherever he leads. For those of us here in the Methodist Church, it's the Holy Club. John Wesley and George Whitfield and Charles and others getting together weekly to give an account of their sins and to hold one another accountable for diving deeper in their faith, of knowing who Jesus was, of making that real on a daily basis. And that movement has transformed the world and has allowed us to be where we are. And then for many of us, it's marriage. Whether in our parents, our friends, or ourselves, covenanting with someone to walk with, to have a common goal, to bring God's shalom in life, and maybe even to bring new life in. These covenants we form, we can lean into, they're fleshy, they're something that we feel. In the Bible, the term covenant comes in Genesis, and it comes in this strange image of Abraham, which we'll get to, but it literally means, when you make a covenant, to cut a covenant. What the first one was in Genesis 15, God cuts animals apart and passes through as to say, if we break this covenant, this will happen to us. We'll get cut up. We'll be severed from one another and what's going on. And so different people dispute how many covenants there are in the Bible and throughout history. And one of the first ones, kind of a general one, is in Eden, where God creates mankind and we are to be co-rulers with him. As long as we take what God says is good and we partake in that, just don't call things good for yourself. And we fall, and the covenant is broken, and it spreads through all of humanity. And so God has another covenant in the midst of our mire and sin, and it's the flood. Not the flood, but the afterwards, the Noahide covenant, where God offers the rainbow and says, we will not flood the world like this anymore. And God says, I am going to make the world a reliable place in which you can live. And even though you fail all the time, my common graces will be available to all. And we're expected to do nothing, because God is just offering this in his graces. But then still, humanity kind of wanders, and so God calls a small people out of that, Abram. And he enters into a covenant with this small group of people and says, if you are faithful and righteous and just and walk in these ways, your land will expand, your people will expand like the stars, and someday you will get to be a blessing to all the nations. All the nations will know this love that God has and the blessings and fruit of this covenant. And so the people find themselves in a tight spot. And they're enslaved. And they come out and they enter into a new covenant at Sinai with Moses leading the people Israel. And God says, here are these rules and these laws by which I want you to follow to be righteous and just. And if you do this, your people will be a blessing to all the nations. And as they finally got the land God promised and they had the rule God the laws that God has, God says, all right, David of the tribe of Judah, I want to enter into a covenant. If you lead people faithfully, then this kingdom that you have will someday, through one of your heirs, rule all people, and all will know God's shalom in the rightly ordered way of life. And then you turn the page, and Israel proceeds to break every single one of them. Solomon does exactly the opposite of what he's supposed to do as a king, and you see the kingdom fracture. The people don't live as Israel was called, and they begin to dominate other people rather than blessing them through what they're called to do. And they find themselves far from God. Not even living up to the Noahide covenant, but God's faithful promises go. Even Abraham, they begin to disassociate from one another. And so the prophets come onto the scene after Israel breaks all of these covenants, and they say, someday, Someday Jerusalem, where the temple was, this covenant will be restored. And in the restoration of this covenant, it'll be like the desert becomes this wonderful oasis, and you can all again answer the God's call freely wherever you are. And Jesus enters the scene here. The journey we had of the last couple weeks of Advent, talking about the hope, the joy, the faith, the peace, and then Christ's love coming down, comes true in this covenant that God is about to redeem. We're going to partake in a version of it here with the table being set. This feast of God's love that sustains us for our journey throughout the week, where we remember that we can have forgiveness. We get forgiveness. I mean, it's not just a new year, you wipe the slate clean, forgiveness. It's all the junk as far back as you go and the redemption of those relationships, forgiveness. We had this table here the last couple of weeks where we talked about the expansion that God has when we begin to enter into this covenant. This covenant that just expands forth, that John prepared a way for, that Jesus' family pointed us to, and just explodes open with Christ coming. A table that can leave a mess. Glad we cleaned it up. But it's a mess that we can enter into because we're faithful to what God has. And so in this passage on Luke 2, yes, it's a little bit out of place with Epiphany as this happened before the coming of the wise men. But if you look at that whole passage from Luke 2, 21 through the end of the chapter, you see that Jesus was entering into a covenantal situation. First off, God has allowed Jesus to be exposed to all different sorts of people. So wherever you find yourself today, read through Luke and you will see yourself somewhere in there. From the young children, Jesus at the temple, to the old prophetess Anna waiting desperately for this moment, to the down and out, to the wise men, to the kings, to the rulers, to the soldiers. There are people in here who experience the good news of God setting the world right through Jesus. And so when we read through this passage, we see on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, this circumcision that was a reminder of Moses' covenant with the people Israel to be by the rule of law. We see that Jesus is in a faithful family that is going to the temple, not just here, but we see when he comes back every year at Passover, his family comes into a devout family. We see the eighth day, the reminder of new creation, that Jesus is the new creator on the Lord of resurrection that brings this in, this new covenant. We see that it's at the end of the time of the purification, the 40 days, if you go back to Leviticus 12, to talk about dedicating the first son to remind them of the other covenants that God has. We know already from Luke that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and so he is one of those who could be the ones that brings about this new covenant. And then you see Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit, the one that creates the space in us to live creatively in this world, coming through to make this proclamation. This proclamation that he makes is a weaving together of Isaiah and many other things in the Old Testament that point to this moment. This beautiful moment where Jesus came into the world and began to restore all of our covenants. You can find many different passages of the suffering servant, but hear this from Isaiah 42. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. 2021 is a time where we can come out of the darkness. It's a time when we can acknowledge that we don't see justice everywhere. That maybe for some of us, even in our own home, our rule has gone so awry, others don't want to be in relationship with us. And to realize that Jesus is coming, his fulfillment of every single one of these covenants is one that is still good news for us today. Jeremiah spoke of this moment, the prophet calling out in midst of the breaking of the covenants and the being pulled off into captivity. He says this: "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." And that's what we have. We live in the days after the fulfillment of this covenant. The word testament is another word for will, for covenant. We write the scriptures down based upon seeing that Jesus fulfilled this, and we've been living as members of the church. Hebrews says Jesus fulfilled a better covenant. This table is set to remind ourselves of the breaking of the new covenant, the blood that poured forward that is the forgiveness of our sins. And we can all, wherever you are, come to this table, whether today or tomorrow when you pick it up, to partake, to become what you eat in this covenant. You see, Jesus opened up for us these renewed Edenic possibilities where we can be co-rulers with him. You can go forth today and create in ways that brings God's shalom, this abundance of overflowing life and love for your neighbor, for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, for your friends. I don't care what you did last week or last year. Today, this covenant you can claim and take on the possibility with the Holy Spirit incarnating you to be image bearers, to say yes to Jesus, to enter into a covenant. If some of you have never felt like you've entered the covenant, if you've never been baptized, may 2021 be the year you feel that burden, that call to come forward, to publicly say, "I will throw off my old clothes, the covenants I made with the world in which I got by on my own, and I want to lean into the blood of Christ." To be known as a child of God, to take on the new robes of righteousness, to be a blessing to all people every day, wherever I go, wherever I am called. Because we are called to follow the way of Jesus, and we will talk about that this year. May 2021 be a year in which we renew our call to discipleship in all of life. Not just the broken resolutions that we have, but the broken relationships we have with one another in this world. If you're someone who has questions about what we're talking about or this world or whether there even is a God, if you're tuning in online and you've never heard this before, what we talked about at the beginning, the Alpha series, might be a great first step. If you if you have time and you wonder what Jesus actually commands us to do, on Mondays at 1:30, we're going to be talking about following the way of Jesus and just doing what Jesus says. And so if you've never fasted, this is not a good place for you because he says that. If you don't want to love your neighbor, don't come. Jesus messes with us when he calls us. If for you, if finances is a burden, if you've lost your job or 2020 has been that way, we'll be offering Financial Peace University beginning in February. If it's your marriage, we would love to offer a marriage class, because we have a wealth of resources sitting here and online. People in this congregation who have loved one another and working through would love to get you connected to learn from one another. If it's parenting or some other area of life, if it's wisdom you seek, whatever it is, there are ways in which we can join together to covenant to walk this out, to answer the call that God has, and to make a commitment so that when people look at Central and they drive by this building, they will say, that's that place. That's that place so-and-so goes to church, where they begin to change what's happening in our neighborhood. That's that place where you go to church, where you heard the good news. That's that place where the world seems to be changing and good news seems to be proclaimed. John Wesley believed in this when he called us to social holiness, to gather together with one another to walk through life. He had this simple philosophy of doing no harm. In other words, acknowledging the sin in your life. Do good, follow Jesus. Stay in love with God, to attend to all the ordinances of our faith, fasting and prayer and scripture reading. And this may be a year that I hope we have. So today I wanted us to join together in renewing that covenant we made with God and one another. Back in 1755, John Wesley offered the first version of this covenant renewal service. A time each year where we remember what it is God asks us to do, to be, and to be about. And so if you have it here, you can pick it up and read it, and at the end you can sign it if you so desire to make that commitment again. Online, feel free to follow along, and if you want a version, we have these printed out for you to sign. And so let us together join in this liturgy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant, of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood, that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and perfecter of our faith. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. From time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met, to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make this covenant of God our own. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ, except for denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray.
Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things.
Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work.
Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal.
Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this by a holy covenant. To make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, and carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, and searching your hearts, whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you are clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts. You have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees. Lift your hands toward heaven. Open your hearts to the Lord as we pray.
O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will, for you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart.
God requires that you shall put away all your idols.
I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own unrighteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you.
Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again, if you would let him.
Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion. And now, to give myself up, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life.
God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means of coming to God.
Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here, with all my power, accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law.
Christ has told you that you must suffer with him.
I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you.
God has given holy laws as the rule of your life.
I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction, and not allow myself to neglect anything that I know to be my duty.
The Almighty God searches and knows your heart.
O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today, without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it. And let the covenant I made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen.
You are advised to make this covenant not only in your heart, but in word. Not only in word, but in writing. Therefore, with all reverence, lay the service before the Lord as your act and deed. And when you have done this, you can sign it. Then keep it as a reminder of the holy agreement between God and you. And you remember it during doubts and temptations. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the covenants you have so wonderfully blessed us with. For what Jesus did for us, Lord. God, I thank you for all who joined with us this day and in the days to come in this covenant that we have before us. Lord, let 2021 be a world in which Central shines brightly, in which those of us who follow you can feel your redemption more clearly. And let your love be more dear to us as we now partake in the Lord's Supper. Amen.
The Lord be with you.